Welcome to Talk Nation Radio and our holiday special marking Christmas 2009 and New Year's 2010.
The quartet needs to be very, very explicit, have an explicit aim of ending the blockade of Gaza by taking strong and unified stance. And people can also express their solidarity.
Hospitals are not able to provide needed medical care because of the Israeli blockade. I need to be there.
I said, this is it. I need to get active. I need to do something.
As other American college students head home for the holidays, Joanna L. Rivera is heading to Gaza for a Solidarity Christmas at the Gaza Freedom March, December 31st. A Christian, Rivera said she hopes to be in Bethlehem for Christmas, then cross the border from Egypt into Gaza to meet up with 1,000 other international activists and tens of thousands of Palestinians, calling on Israel to open the borders for peace and aid. First, 16 aid organizations have now issued a statement strongly criticizing the international community for its failure to help end Israel's blockade of Gaza. Olga Gazarian is Oxfam International's regional director for the Middle East. Olga Gazarian, welcome.
Hello.
Just explain Oxfam's criticism of other countries.
A year after the Operation Castlet, 1.5 million people in Gaza live among destruction of their homes, the civilian infrastructure such as schools and hospitals, destruction of farmland and businesses. And the blockade imposed since 2007 is preventing basic construction materials from entering into Gaza. So more than 20,000 people are still displaced, living with relatives, and a lot more live in tents. So people can't reconstruct their homes, can't get their shelters left together. And Israel effectively controls everything that goes in and out of Gaza and keeps the population under lock and key. So though there is some food items entering Gaza, there are no construction materials entering for people to rebuild their houses.
And what about food and medical supplies? I understand they're also difficult to get into Gaza.
Well, what is happening now? There are only 35 types of basic goods, which are basically food items and medications going into Gaza. But it's quite unpredictable. I mean, there is not a transparent list of what goes in. And though there is no humanitarian crisis, it's like a drip-feeding population with only basic supplies. There is also a tunnel economy thriving there, where goods are getting into Gaza through the tunnels, but they are 10 times more expensive than they should be. And because of massive impoverishment, a lot of people can't afford it.
What is it that the international community can do better to reverse these conditions?
It is very important. The international community has failed the Gazan civilians. The quartet, European Union, UN, Russia, and US, need to commit themselves to explicitly aim of ending the blockade of Gaza by taking a strong and unified stance and renew their lead on the issue. The blockade is in breach of the UN Resolution 1860, and the international community needs to review the implementation and consider actions necessary to ensure that a full and sustained opening of all the crossings is happening. So the primary responsibility is with Israel to end the blockade, but the international community needs to take decisive steps to end the blockade.
This month, of course, marks the one-year anniversary of Israeli airstrikes that destroyed most of Gaza's infrastructure, that's government buildings, hospitals, and schools. Tens of thousands of Palestinians are expected to turn out for a rally with 1,000 people from various countries all over the world. They're calling it the Gaza Freedom March. What can people do if they want to help?
Well, I think people need to know what is happening. They need to see the human face of the suffering in Gaza. Because 8 out of 10 people, out of 1.5 million people, are completely dependent on food aid. Tens of thousands of Gazans lost their jobs because of the blockade, stopping imports of everything from construction materials to pesticides and exports of everything except flowers. So the people, ordinary people in the world, need to put pressure on their governments to take decisive steps and have a strong and unified stance and take a renewed international lead, especially people in countries that have more influence, such as US and EU.
Are you also calling on aid groups to do more? And if so, what can people do to support that kind of effort?
I mean, people can donate to aid groups and people can also express their solidarity. But what is important is that with UN and aid groups in Gaza, it is the support we can provide is quite limited because people need construction materials, people need, apart from food and basic items, much more things to rebuild their shattered lives. Well, for example, only 35 types of goods now enter into Gaza. For comparison, before the blockade, around 4,000 types of items were imported into Gaza. So whatever aid groups do, it is not sufficient. People need to have proper access to construction materials, to have businesses and jobs, farmland rehabilitated to rebuild their shattered lives.
Is there anything specific to the United States here that the Obama administration, the president himself, might be able to do to end this long siege that has crippled the Palestinian population in Gaza?
I think, as I said, the United States is part of the quartet, and the quartet needs to be very, very explicit, have an explicit aim of ending the blockade of Gaza by taking strong and unified stance, and needs to take a renewed international lead on the issue.
Olga Gazarian, she's the Middle East Regional Director at Oxfam International. Olga Gazarian, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see the light above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by.
The Gaza Freedom March was organized in the spirit of Nelson Mandela and Mahatma Gandhi. And we speak with Joanna L. Rivera, a University of Connecticut student who is on her way to Gaza to participate in this event she sees as historic and hopeful. A chemical engineer and graduate student in pharmacy, Rivera said she's willing to miss out on Christmas with her family and even delay her career if it means she can help call attention to the need for peace between Palestinians and Israelis. When she gets to Gaza, she will meet up with many well-known peace activists, scholars, religious leaders, and others, including Ridgely Fuller, a Massachusetts social worker who visited the University of Connecticut with a slideshow about Gaza in October.
We often hear that Israel claims that this was a defensive war in response to rockets being launched by Hamas. But the rocket launching and the invasion was predated by a six-month ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. And part of that ceasefire is that Israel was obligated to lift the two-year-old siege on Gaza, and Hamas was obligated to stop firing rockets. This slide illustrates from the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs that, in truth, Hamas did limit the number of rockets that were fired during the ceasefire period. There were almost no rockets that were fired by Hamas. And in fact, Israel agrees that Hamas did attempt to limit and confiscate any other rockets that may have been aimed towards Israel. This is in direct contradiction to much of what we hear in the American media.
The international delegates that will participate in the Gaza Freedom March plan to enter Gaza via Egypt during the last week of December, and then in the morning of December 31st, they join an estimated 50,000 Palestinians for a nonviolent march from northern Gaza to the Eretz-Israeli border. On the Israeli side of the border will be a gathering of Palestinians and Jews calling on the Israeli government to open the border. Joanna Rivera, welcome.
Hi.
First, just talk about your schedule here. When do you plan to arrive in Gaza?
We're scheduled to be inside Gaza on the 29th of December. So I'll be getting into Egypt on the 23rd. Then from there, I'll try to spend Christmas in Bethlehem. We'll see how that works. Then I'll be back for the 27th for the big reunion, the big meeting with all the international delegates. Then we'll ride a bus to Al-Arish town in Egypt, and we'll spend the night there. And then next day on the 29th, we'll cross to Gaza.
You know, I know it's a college town, Storrs, Connecticut, where you study, and a lot of the students just cannot wait to leave and take that winter break and be with family or, you know, further their careers. Was this a difficult choice for you, you know, going to the Middle East instead?
Yes, definitely. I think it was a very hard decision to make, being away from my family, because it's the only time of the year that I get to spend with my family in Puerto Rico. So I'm giving up that privilege, in a sense, to show the Palestinian people that they are important for me and they are important for the rest of the international community, that we are there for them to show respect and to show solidarity to their cause and to their suffering.
Now, we met you and spoke with you about your hopes to go to Gaza during a University of Connecticut Women's Center event where Boston social worker Ridgely Fuller gave a slideshow presentation from her visits to Gaza, and she talked about the fact that she'd be there again for this event. Just explain more about the march and what some of the details are, who else is going to be there, and you know why you really thought it was important to go.
This delegation is marking the 1 year of the anniversary of the December 28 Israeli invasion that left over 1,400 dead. And this is a grassroots global response to the inaction on part of the world leaders and institutions. I will be joining 1,000 international delegates from 42 countries, and I will march alongside distinguished participants such as Alice Walker, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author, Michael Ratner, Hedy Epstein, and there will be also families of three generations of doctors, lawyers, diplomats, around 70 students, an interfaith group that includes rabbis, priests, and imams, also a women's delegation, a Jewish contingent, a veteran group, and a Palestinians born overseas who have never seen their families in Gaza.
The website is GazaFreedomMarch.org, and we're speaking with Joanna L. Rivera, a chemical engineer studying pharmacy as a graduate student at the University of Connecticut in Storrs, Connecticut. And at the moment, she's on her way to the Middle East to join the Gaza Freedom March, and she'll be spending Christmas in solidarity with the Palestinian civilians who've been suffering because of Israel's blockade, imposed after Hamas was elected in 2006. She said she's looking forward to meeting some of the inspirational people who helped form her views on what's important in life, and she's part of a new wave of young people working for social causes. She's working for peace, justice, freedom, and equality. And while in Gaza, she may be able to meet 85-year-old Holocaust survivor Hedy Epstein, who was abruptly thrown out of school in Germany as her parents and family went into concentration camps.
Surviving the Holocaust for me means bearing witness, fighting against injustice. It means compassion, tolerance, and it means remembering is not enough, which is the title of my autobiography. Remembering also has to have a present and a future perspective. These are some of my Jewish values. They're really universal values. I'm not a saint. I've made mistakes. I have my faults. But I care profoundly about the issues of justice, fairness, and peace. I care about people, all people, not just Jewish people.
Hedy Epstein is one of more than 1,000 people from all over the world who are both well-known activists and students or other types of volunteers hoping to promote peace and a lifting of the Israeli blockade of Gaza. The list includes a few government officials from France and the Philippines, as well as Zineb Salbi of Women for Women International, writer Alice Walker, Franciscan Father Luis Vital, Filipino MP Walden Bello, Code Pink founders Jody Evans and Medea Benjamin, author and activist Ali Abunima, as well as French rap group MAP and musician Roger Waters of Pink Floyd, the Gaza Freedom March organized by the International Coalition to End the Illegal Siege of Gaza, a diverse group of faith-based and non-faith-based organizations focusing on human rights under international law. After learning about the situation in Gaza, Joanna Rivera joined other students in exploring ideas.
I think, as one keynote speaker of the BDS conference said, Ali Abunima, and it struck me a lot that He said, we will be doing this if the Jewish people were the ones who were being oppressed and whose human rights were violated. So I think the fact that a Holocaust survivor is going to this march, it tells a lot to me that even though she went through all this suffering, for her it's not fair what is going on in Palestine, and the Holocaust is not a justification for all the suffering that the Palestinians are going through.
Ali Abu Nima was a speaker at Hampshire College, the BDS conference, about divestment from companies in Israel. You know, another thing that Hedy Epstein mentioned was that she was going to Palestine to give people hope. And that was important, she felt, especially in Gaza. Is that part of your reason? And do you think giving people hope is a big part of what this event is all about?
Yeah, I think it's very important, especially now that the situation is more critical now. The access to water, the contamination, the issue with the blue baby syndrome caused by the contamination of water with nitrate. And it has to do with the oxygen carrying capacity of hemoglobin. When we have this contamination, and it mostly happened with babies, even the issue with Berlanti Assam, that she was deported to Gaza. She was a student at the Bethlehem University in the West Bank, and she was deported last October because her ID showed that she was a Gazan resident and not a West Bank resident. And despite the fact that she tried to change her address to the West Bank several times during several years, she was in her fourth year of, I think, business, international business, and she was deported 2 months before finishing her degree in Bethlehem University. So despite all of these historical things that are happening, the Solidarity March with 1,000 people from 42 countries, I think it will make a difference to the Palestinians and at least will give them that resilience and power to keep fighting.
There are patterns to war. History tells us about a progressive loss of human rights and rights to property and dignity. This is now part of the Palestinian story. After 60 years of Israeli occupation and ever more Palestinian homes being destroyed for more Israeli settlements. Hedy Epstein shared her personal story in a video on YouTube as a way to explain her actions in solidarity with Palestinians, even as she also sympathizes with Israeli Jews who have suffered.
November 10, 1938, Kristallnacht, or the night of the broken glass, in Germany, in Austria. And I was living in a village in Germany at that time. I was unceremoniously kicked out from school by the principal, who said, "Get out, you dirty Jew." When I came home, our home was vandalized. My father had been arrested. He was taken to the concentration camp Dachau and returned home 4 weeks later, an old, broken man, not the father that I knew before. I left Germany on May 18, 1939, on a kinder transport or children's transport to England, not realizing at the time that when I said goodbye to my parents and other family members, I would never, ever see them again. They perished in Auschwitz.
The Gaza story is slowly changing, thanks to the creativity of international aid organizations and Friends of Justice at groups like Global Exchange and Code Pink, newly involved with Gaza over the past few years, as well as the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees in the Near East. The UN News website features an August report, for example, about a new world record that was set in Gaza, where thousands of kites were flown simultaneously. That the project of UN aid worker Joanne Van Jek. During Christmas and New Year's in Gaza, there are a large number of peaceful and fun events scheduled by the Gaza YMCA and YWCA, a children's show, a Christmas gift distribution, candlelight processions, Christmas carols, and vigils. And in the U.S. and other countries, vigils have been organized in solidarity with these events, starting December 27th and running through December 31st. The idea is to do some of what is being done in Gaza to mark the first anniversary of the war that took 1,400 lives and wounded thousands more. Many of the casualties were children, and on December 31st, at a commemoration in Bethlehem, Children, we'll read the names of 300 of the children who died in Gaza as they pray for peace.
Even though all these negative things are happening, we want to show them that we still like think there is hope, and we believe in peace, and we believe in nonviolence, and believe in the cause of justice, and that we will make justice for the Palestinian people. And I think boycott, sanction, and divestment is a nonviolent action and a nonviolent resistance that has proven to be effective against injustice and the institutionalization of injustice. So I think this will be a very strong action that every single person can make as an individual, but then it will have a broad impact as a group. I've been reading a lot about that. I went to the BDS conference. I know that there is a lot of things going on in different campuses across all the U.S. And even also in Europe, they're doing some boycott action against the Ahava products. And they've been very creative, and I think it's going to be effective. I think for me, education is the key to peace, is the key to freedom. And I'm glad that there's still young people striving for peace, even though they have taken everything from them. They have taken their homes, they have taken their education, they're taking the freedom of movement, and they are still walking for peace, fighting for peace. And this young lady, Berlantia Saman, she was saying, like, I just want to go back and finish my degree to show them, you know, that I just want to get my education and I want to become a leader. And how can you get peace if you're taking all the positive things from the young people? How can you encourage them to become young adults and young leaders if you don't let them get their education? You know, that's the most important thing for me.
French rap group MAP turned out a huge crowd of mostly young people when they played in Nablus, and they're expected to do the same in Gaza as they join more traditional events marking the Christmas and New Year's holiday.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm also representing Connecticut. I'm representing my school. I'm representing the people who cannot go and are showing solidarity for this cause and are supporting me 100%. And it shows the diversity of people who is interested in this cause, and that despite that the media might not show a lot the Palestinian side as well as they show the Israeli side, that there's people who is definitely solidary and they care and they're willing to give up their time and their resources and their humanity to go on this trip. I'm really excited. And I'm really excited about meeting other fellow students, other women. We've shared a lot through the internet. We haven't met each other yet, but we're sharing a lot of thoughts, a lot of support, a lot of solidarity through email and internet and Facebook.
Joanna, what have you learned about this part of the world as you've taken on this new effort?
I've learned that they still strive for peace and for nonviolence, and that they are trying to become leaders and people that want to lead their communities in a peaceful way. I just met some people in the Tree of Life conference, and I was inspired by their words that they still want peace, and even though some family members have been killed, they still believe there's going to be peace. They're just waiting for the right moment. And also there was this guy that has a project called the Tents of Nations, and he wants to use his land for peace projects, for women's projects, for children, summer camps. So there are a lot of good things and a lot of good potential from the Palestinian people, and they want to be recognized by that, not by the violent side of the Palestinian struggle. That really gives me a lot of inspiration to go on this march and meet the people that I've been watching over YouTube, over the internet, that I'm really going to meet them, and it's going to be an honor for me and an example to bring back those positive examples of the Palestinian struggle.
Now, you will be in Palestine, possibly Bethlehem, Jerusalem, at a time when people all over the world will be praying, and many of them view this part of the world you're going to as holy. Does that have special meaning for you personally, or what does it mean in terms of this trip you're making for human rights?
Yeah, it's very important for me because I'm a Christian, and for me, the Christmas period is one of the sacred periods of the year, and I will be in, as you say, Holy Land. And for me, it's still hard to understand how this is called the Holy Land, and yet there's so many injustices and so much violence going on. And I think we should just talk to each other. I don't, you know, when I get to this holy thing, like, you know, I cannot understand why are we fighting, you know, like the role of religion as a peaceful entity, and yet we're doing all these things in the name of religion, you know what I'm saying?
Does your Puerto Rican heritage take on new meaning for you as you head to Gaza? Because you'll be with people from all over the world and various cultures.
Yeah, I think I will represent my tiny, tiny island. And I think we also have a lot in common with the Palestinians. I've been before in the Middle East, and I feel like when I'm around people from the Middle East, like I feel it's kind of homey. Like the hospitality, the way they treat their guests, in some parts the food and the rhythm of their music, it reminds me a lot of home. And also being Puerto Rican is part of a struggle too. You know, the struggle of self-determination, the struggle to keep your culture, your heritage. Yeah, as a Latin people also resembles a little bit.
Finally, Joanna, I'd like to hear your thoughts about the impact on you personally of events in Gaza of 1 year ago when there was so much death and suffering.
I think it was the thing that piqued my interest. I mean, I was interested before, but when I saw this, I couldn't help but say, like, I need to do something. I need to go there. I need to contribute however I can, because before I was reading, it was more like a passive listener. But after what I saw, December 2008, January 2009, I said, this is it. I need to get active. I need to do something. I need to go there, teach, go there, help reconstruct the country, go there and use my pharmacy skills, whatever I can do, I need to do it. And I need to come back and talk to people here. This is it. As I talked to other people who's going to the march, they said the same. You know, they were active in the Palestinian cause and they've been doing some things, but this was the climax of their struggle with Gaza.
And what about changes in the year since?
I think the Palestinians are getting organized and they are taking advantage of the opportunity that so many internationals are going, and they're willing to show the international community that they are tired of this blockade and that they want it over. We want it over. We don't want our tax money to support this occupation, this human crisis, and that they want some freedom to move and that they want their human rights to be respected, and that the Universal Declaration of Human Rights doesn't exclude the Palestinians, all human beings, including the Palestinians.
Joanna L. Rivera, a Connecticut college student on her way to Bethlehem for Christmas, then Gaza. The website, GazaFreedomMarch.org. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dori Smith. Happy Solidarity holiday season to you. Our website is talknationradio.org. Special thanks to everyone who helps with this program. Pacifica Network, we're syndicated with them and available free to any radio station who'd like to air us weekly. And special thanks to my husband, Joseph Smith. Our music is by Fritz Heed, fritzheed.com.